The people who make a difference. The opportunities, arts, and events that make Kansas City a better place. This is Caring for KC.
Good morning, I'm Lisa Fox. Thank you for joining me for Caring for Kansas City. If you'd like your organization or event to be featured on the show, be sure to submit your information on our Caring for Kansas City website at caringforkc.com. I'm going to speak with Julie Call, Senior Director of Special Events for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City, a little bit later. But right now, I have Ashley Dooley Wogelmuth, who is the Director of Support and Education for Catholic Charities of Greater Kansas City and St. Joseph. She's here to discuss a change in adoption laws coming in January. Ashley, explain why Catholic Charities is talking about a change in adoption laws.
So Catholic Charities has been an adoption agency and doing adoption since the 1800s. The Missouri Adoptee Rights Act allows adoptees to access their original birth certificate starting January 2nd. So as an agency that has worked with thousands of birth parents over the centuries, plural, it is our right to make sure that we help spread the message about the law because like most governmental agencies, funding is always tight. Mm. So we want to make sure that the word gets out to all of those who are affected by the law.
So what does this mean? Adult adoptees will be able to access their original birth certificates. So what does this mean? What impact does this have?
So the first thing that most people don't know is that if you were adopted, you would have two birth certificates. You would have your original birth certificate with your birth parents' names on it. Mm. After your adoption is finalized through the courts, then you receive an amended birth certificate that has your adoptive parents' names on it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. So growing up, if you were an adoptee in the state of Missouri, you've been dealing with your amended birth certificate.
Gotcha.
So that's why it's such a big deal for adoptees to now have access to that, because the Missouri law has been in place since 1940-ish that adoption records are sealed from the time the adoption is finalized, which means an adoptee has not had the right to access that information, regardless of what type of adoption it was.
I see.
Today, there are many more open adoptions mm-hmm. where adoptive couples going in have interactions with birth parents. They know and correspond. Adoptees have a chance to meet their birth parents as they're growing up or once they reach a certain age. Mm-hmm. Back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, that was not
the case.
Well, sure.
And I know that they were trying to protect everyone involved, the adoptive parents, the birth parents, and the child, everyone. But times have changed.
You're absolutely right. And in the age of technology, adoptees want the information about their birth parents.
Well,
and
sure.
It's for varying reasons. That's their choice.
Right.
Whether they want to know a name for genealogical purposes, for medical purposes, mm-hmm. curiosity, mm-hmm. they have burning questions that they want to ask. Those are their rights. That's part of being an adoptee and the feelings that they go through.
Sure.
We also believe that birth parents have rights.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it is not unfrowned upon in our society to see an unwed pregnant woman
right.
in the community. If you were to rewind back to, say, 1950s, that was really frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disgrace to families. And so a lot of pregnancies that were unplanned were hidden. Missouri had numerous maternity homes. So women from every state, all 50 of them, would flock to Missouri. And they could live safely in a maternity home, deliver the baby, get the medical care that they needed, and have their baby placed for adoption, all while hiding the pregnancy from whomever they chose to, whether it was their immediate family, whether it was their community, their parish family, their religious family, whoever that was, they could hide that.
Well, I had no idea. And you know, and you were talking about this, I didn't even think about the people who, like you said, 50s, 60s, 70s, tried to hide the pregnancy. And I also didn't know that Missouri was the place to come.
Missouri was the place. Kansas City, Missouri was the place
really?
To go.
Oh my.
And there are amazing stories that we've heard being in the adoption field of people that received amazing care at the maternity homes. We have had women call us years later as they're finding out about the law that say, listen, I was told that this would be confidential when I was there, mm-hmm. when I placed my baby for adoption. I want that to be the case. I've moved on. I'm at peace with my mm-hmm. decision. And so now those individuals deserve to know if you want that right to remain to where your name is not released on the birth certificate, you as a birth parent must act.
Okay, so they're going to release the original birth certificate to adult adoptees, but if the birth parent does not want that to happen, if they object in any way, they can take measures to stop that?
They can.
Interesting.
So if you visit the website for the Missouri Department of Vital Records or Bureau of Vital Records, you will see links on there. Forms for adoptees to fill out the information requesting their birth certificates. Those will not be released until January 2nd.
Okay.
However, they are currently getting 50 to 60 requests for birth certificates now.
Okay.
So
is that daily?
It's weekly.
Okay.
For birth parents, the law built into place a grace period. So for any babies born after 1941, there is this grace period that we've had a year and a half to help spread the message, inform birth parents. Mm-hmm. But starting January 2nd, if an adoptee request comes in and there is no communication from a birth parent, they will receive the original birth certificate. However, if a birth parent submits their contact preference form, is what it's called, they have the right to say, no, redact my information, which means white it out, black it out. It can't be on the birth certificate, mm-hmm. so it will not be released. They have the right to say, yes, it's okay to release my information. They also have the preference to state that it's okay to be contacted, but through a court intermediary. So
I
there
see.
Would be kind of a middle mm-hmm. person familiar with adoptions that could help facilitate that communication. So adoptees have rights. Birth parents have rights. Birth parents must assess their rights now because the old laws are no longer applicable.
So how long do the birth parents have to say, no, I don't want this to happen, or submit these forms?
So ideally, they would submit that communication prior to January 2nd is when the birth certificates can start being released to adoptees. We would encourage birth parents at any point that they find out about the law, and then secondly, make their decision for what's best for them, and they can change their mind. That's the beauty of this. The contact preference form can be submitted at any time. Another important part that I haven't yet talked about is in addition to birth parents submitting their contact preference, they also have the ability to submit medical information. So there's two parts to this. So maybe at one point a birth parent's like, wow, this is, you know, a lot to deal with, but I do want my adoptee to know their medical history.
Mm-hmm.
Think about when you go into a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. I feel like annually I'm asked, please complete your medical
exactly.
history. And I'm like, well, not much has changed since last year, but sure, I'll go ahead and fill it out again.
Exactly.
Imagine the emotions mm-hmm. that must be going through an adoptee's mm-hmm. mind if they don't have a medical history.
Well, sure.
And so if a birth parent decides, yes, I'll release my medical information to the adoptee now, and then down the road decides, you know, I'm okay with my name being released, they can always change that.
I like that. That's a great idea to be able to change if circumstances change or if they change their minds.
Yeah.
That's good. But then I think about all these women who came to Kansas City from different places in the country. How do they get this information? Are they not going to know?
We want them to know. Like many of us, we are not still living in the home that we first came to,
well, sure, right.
In whatever form we came. So we are doing our best to reach out to national networks mm-hmm. as we best know how. Mm-hmm. Catholic Charities of Kansas City St. Joseph thankfully has Catholic Charities USA. So we're able to help spread the message to other adoption agencies in various states. We have gotten calls as far away as Maryland mm-hmm. and Texas. Because one of the interesting stats that really has nothing to do with adoption, but I believe it's 63% of residents stay within a close radius to where they grew up. So we're hoping that by spreading the message to the birth parents and adoptees in Missouri, we're reaching Missouri and Kansas.
Right.
We're reaching your entire network.
Mm-hmm.
We're also counting on the friends and family members of adoptees and of birth parents to spread the message as well.
Exactly, because I was thinking, you know, there may be people still here that they knew in the past, that they reached out to or reached out to them, that still keep in touch. So maybe they can help get the word out.
It's one of those battles, if you will. Those of us that are committed to spreading the message have personal ties to adoption. We work in the adoption field. We have family and friends who are birth parents or who are adoptees or who are adoptive parents. And we know what a beautiful journey adoption is. We also know it can be an intimate one. It can be a challenging one. So if you're somebody out there that knows somebody affected by adoption, please share this message with them. You can go to the Bureau of Vital Records, get all of the information that you need. You can also call Catholic Charities. Happy to accept calls. Our number is 816-221-4377.
Okay, and can they go online to Vital Records? How do they get that information?
Yeah, so Vital Records has done an amazing job. Their bureau chief has ensured that the forms to complete are on the website.
Oh, great.
There are Q&A forms on the website.
Good.
Because there are going to be questions that are unique.
I can imagine.
Different. One of the things that we have already seen. So, Lisa, I failed to mention earlier that if you are an adoptee in Missouri and you were born before 1941, you have had access to your original birth certificate since August of 2016.
Oh.
There were 8 people that we know of that accessed their original birth certificate shortly thereafter.
Hmm.
And with that, one of the women who received her birth certificate has previously been in contact with her birth parents. She found them via DNA testing, has built relationships, but she still wanted to get in her hands that copy of her original birth certificate.
Sure.
And when she got it, the look on her face was interesting because her birth mother's name, as she knew it, was not on the birth certificate. So there was a decade, more than one decade, where aliases were very common.
Oh, no.
There are other time frames where birth fathers' names were not required to be listed on birth certificates. So we share this information because we don't want any one person out there waiting until January 2nd to have this huge expectation that all of their questions are going to be, well, most of their questions are going to be answered when they receive that birth certificate, because chances are there may be other unanswered questions.
That could just be the beginning of a whole different chapter in their lives.
It is. Mm-hmm. And we've got to reflect back on life changes, times change. Different stigmas change, and so we can't affect what happened in the past.
Right.
It is the past,
right.
But we do want to acknowledge that out there, that not everybody is going to receive all their hopes and dreams and questions and answers in one opening of an envelope.
Sure, and I know the expectations are probably high. You know, how can they not be? But you still have to be realistic because, you know, you don't want to be let down either. So this is a very sensitive subject.
Some of the calls that we get are very whispers and it's women saying, I've had to wait until everybody has left to make this call. I've been waiting till the house has been empty. And then we have other callers. I can't believe this. This is exciting. This may be my chance. I mean, it's just there is a spectrum of emotions, and we respect all of those emotions. We want our birth parents. We want our adoptees to know that they have a right. They can make the choice that's best for them.
Make sure to exercise your rights. So if you're an adult adoptee, you can't access your original birth certificate beginning on January 2nd. But if you're a birth parent and you have some reservations and you're not sure, you can take steps to prevent that. And maybe in the future, if you change your mind, you can do that as well. But you have to take steps. Vital Records info at health.mo.gov. Email them with questions that you may have. Or you can call them at 573-751-6387, and I'll give you that information again so you can write it down. And I just wish you the best of luck. And Ashley, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. And thank you for taking time to share this public service.
So important. This information is so important, so I really appreciate it. Thank you.
For more information about changes coming to the Missouri Adoptee Rights Act, contact Catholic Charities of Greater Kansas City and St. Joseph at 816-221-4377. You can also contact the Missouri Bureau of Vital Records at 573-751-6387 or email them at vitalrecordsinfo@health.mo.gov. Coming up, I'll speak with Julie Call with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City when Caring for Kansas City continues.
Attention Missouri birth parents and adult adoptees. Missouri adoption law is changing. Beginning January 1st, 2018, adult adoptees born in Missouri will be granted access to their original birth certificate. Birth parents have the right to protect their confidentiality under the new law, but they must act before January 1st. For more information about this important change in Missouri law, contact the Missouri Bureau of Vital Records at 573-751-6387. This message is brought to you by Missouri's not-for-profit adoption agencies.
Veterans face treacherous situations filled with peril while serving our country. Many veterans come home physically injured, suffering with PTSD, have traumatic brain injuries, or other ailments. For over 45 years, Help Heal Veterans has provided therapeutic art kits to these critically injured veterans at no charge to them. Help us heal vets. To volunteer or learn more, visit healvets.org. Help a veteran. Visit healvets.org.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? Amid the chaos? Or is the best time perhaps today? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you're interested in learning more about today's guest, or if you'd like to have your organization on the show, contact us at caringforkc.com. Welcome back. I'm Lisa Fox, and I'm joined by Julie Call, Senior Director of Special Events for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City and St. Joseph. Thank you so much for joining me today, Julie.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Let's talk about the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. Most people know what the Boys and Girls Club is, but can you just give us a general overview?
Absolutely. The Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Kansas City have been around since 1912, so a lot of people don't know that. We've been here over 100 years in Kansas City, and we offer before and after school programming every day and then some weekend programming all day long during the summer for youth ages 5 to 18. And so what we're really offering is a positive place for kids to go. We offer programming in various different core program areas: technology, leadership, healthy life skills, sports, arts, kind of creating that well-rounded youth so they're ready to go on after high school. And so our main goal is to have 100% of our kids graduate from high school on time with secondary plans, whether that's going to school, going into the military, going right into work. And in, I guess, the year of 2017, graduating, we had 100% of our seniors graduated. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
What age do girls and boys get involved in the Boys and Girls Club?
We start at age 5. So
wow.
5 all the way up to 18. And so we have obviously different programming for our little ones as opposed to our teens. But we have a lot of different hooks to try and get them in the door and keep them there and keep them in a positive place with
caring adults.
Now, do you find when they get involved early that they stay in the program throughout their high school years?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and we have kids that will come and go. I mean, obviously, the older that they get, the more opportunities there are and more programs, you know, within school and that kind of thing that pull at time. But we try and provide programs and things that will keep them excited to come, especially, you know, our teens, which is the most difficult age to keep engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, we have recording studios in several of our clubs. We have different things that are hooking them into what they're interested in.
And that was my second question. Is it difficult to get a teen to come to the Boys and Girls Club, to get them involved?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some that, like you said, you know, will start coming young and they just come and they love it and they keep coming, you know, but as they do get older, there are so many different things that can pull on their time the older that they get. And so we try and just tweak the programming and ask the teens what they want and what they look for and try to provide those things and keep those kids coming and then ask them to bring their friends and keep them coming. So
is there anything adults can do if they see a child who may need a little direction, but they're a little, you know, they push back? Is there anything that adults can do in the child's life that can kind of steer them in that direction?
Absolutely. You know, and we have great volunteer programs. You know, we encourage people to come. We have volunteers 18 and over that are in the clubs every day. We offer homework help. We offer various different areas where adults can come in and really make a difference for the kids that we have in the clubs. Whatever their passion is, we like them to share that with the kids.
Oh, so if there's something that they really enjoy doing, then they can go to the club and find a way to express themselves that way. Or maybe they need help with their geometry homework, then they can go there and actually take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes, yes. And we'll have, you know, we've had volunteers that have come in that say, you know, I'm a photographer. I want to teach kids that are interested in photography, or, you know, various whatever their, again, passion is, they can help get kids passionate about it, and then the kids will bring in other kids, and then they can teach the younger kids. I mean, it's just kind of all keeps going that way.
Now, if someone wants to volunteer, or I don't know how, but if a kid is up listening this early in the morning, how would they contact you?
Our probably the best way would either be to call our main office, which is 816-361-3600, and the receptionist there can direct, if it's a child that or a parent that's interested in enrolling, can find out which club is closest to where they are, can do that way. If it's someone interested in volunteering, can be directed to our director of volunteers, or you can also visit our website, which is helpkckids.org, and find all of that same information there and contact information.
Now, you talked about people who come in and use their talents to help the children. Do you need other types of volunteers? What can people do to help if they don't have a specific talent that would fit into your program?
Sure. And we have various different ways that people can volunteer and give back. Obviously, on the volunteer side, we have events every year where we do ask for groups of volunteers to come in. We have groups of people that want to hold drives for us, you know, around this time at school supplies, that are always in need in our clubs. Arts supplies or things like that they want to give. But there are a tremendous number of ways to give and give back to the clubs.
And monetary donations, you take those as well?
Absolutely. We are always happy to take monetary donations.
And can they give on your website?
Yes, okay. We do have a secure online giving there. So again, through our website or by calling us or dropping by, sending something in the mail. Everything we do stays here in Kansas City. I know there's often confusion about Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Kansas City and Boys and Girls Clubs of America, which we are an affiliate organization of. However, we are our own standalone 501c3 organization. So every dollar that we make stays in Kansas City for our kids.
Good to know.
Yes.
That is really good to know. So log on to the website. What's that again?
helpkckids.org.
Now, I'm looking at this, and it's the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City and the Sports Lab. When you talk about the Sports Lab, it goes beyond just the sporting events.
It does. And Sports Lab, it stands for Lifestyle, Attitude, and Behavior. And it's really trying to teach our kids that there's more than just on the field. Obviously, there are important aspects of playing the sports, but the majority of these kids are not going to go on and become professional athletes. I mean, sure, they all may have that dream and we help them go for it, but we know that that's not likely to happen for all of our kids.
Sure.
But there are a lot of different other opportunities in the sports related field, whether it's an announcer or physical therapy or, you know, sports medicine of some kind or just anything. You know, you could be a coach, you could be a trainer. There's so many different opportunities involved in sports. And so we really tie in that healthy lifestyles programming, teaching the kids to take care of themselves, you know, their health, their bodies, and so really getting ready for their future and helping them prepare for that both on and off the field.
That's something that a lot of people don't think about. You hear sports and you think about getting in there and participating and, you know, just doing your best, but there are so many different aspects. And I think it's wonderful that you're actually opening it up so kids can see this, because teenagers, sometimes they don't have exposure to a lot of different types of career options. Mm-hmm. So this is actually giving them more options than just being a sports star.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of kids, you know, in our neighborhoods where our clubs are, they aren't exposed to a lot of these programs because if they aren't offered in the school that they go to or, you know, at the clubs, they aren't going to experience it anywhere else. You know, one of the big things for us is, you know, teaching kids how to swim, which a lot of kids in the inner cities where our clubs are,
right,
that's something that they don't know. I mean, so we had 1,000 kids going through and getting swimming lessons this summer in summer programming. So it's, we want to prepare those kids and give them opportunities that they wouldn't be able to get anywhere else.
And you're also saving lives.
Yes.
Because
yes,
it's really important.
Life-saving skills.
It is. Life-saving skills.
We really are an organization that's been around a long time that I think some people only know the sports side of us. And we do offer, as I said before, programming in a lot of different areas. And, you know, we'll serve nearly 8,000 kids this year in our clubs. We have 6 club locations, 1 in Olathe and 1 in Wyandotte County on the Kansas side, 2 in KC, Missouri, and then 2 out in Independence. And so we really do offer kind of the full gamut, whole programming for kids around Kansas City. And it's only $15 for an entire school year of programming.
For the entire school year?
Entire school year.
Oh, come on. Yep. You cannot pass up this incredible opportunity. So get your kids involved, because this is something that they're going to take with them throughout their secondary education and beyond. So it's the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. You can find them on their website, helpkckids.org.
Yes.
And you can also donate there. The Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. Thank you so much, Julie Call, for visiting me.
Thank you very much.
For more information about the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City and St. Joseph, call 816-361-3600 or log on to helpkckids.org. Remember, if you'd like your organization or event to be featured on the show, submit your information on our Caring for Kansas City website at caringforkc.com. Thank you for joining me today for Caring for Kansas City. I'm Lisa Fox.
Thank you for listening to Caring for KC, a public affairs program for Cumulus Radio. To learn more or suggest a topic, visit caringforkc.com.